It doesn't get much better. Or does it?
Maybe it does.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, that's an oldie but goodie there. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Had a chance to talk with Carmen Best, Seattle Police Chief, right at the beginning of the show this afternoon. I'll revisit some of that conversation for you. Before I get to all our local news, there are a couple stories that I saw in the news today and over the weekend that make me think that it might... Look, before I get into the cancel culture update, I always correct things when I misstate something or I'm just flat out wrong. This was a confusion of me between the Los Angeles City and County Council. I said the Los Angeles City Council only has five councilmen. That's the Los Angeles County Council. And you know, King County has nine, even though we have far, far, far fewer people than Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County gets by with five. The city of Los Angeles has 15 council members. But on a per capita basis, that would still get the Seattle City Council down to five if we defund the city council, which we should. And I'll get into that. But I wanted to correct it. It's the county council. Thanks to the listener who reminded me that it's the county council down there that's smaller, not the city council. Appreciate that. Okay. A couple of stories in the news that we need to focus on. So it is time for a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
All right, we're going to start in New Jersey, where a college student is facing harsh disciplinary action because he had a Trump background during a Zoom conference. A student, Robert DeLida, he faces potential disciplinary action because a photograph of the president is his background during Zoom video conferences. He's a doctoral student at Stockton University in Jersey. And he's now been accused by the university of violating the student code of conduct because some of his classmates were offended by the image. So he removed himself from the chat because the other students were criticizing him for having a background that features the president of the United States. And he went on Facebook and he said, just very nicely, he said, "I've gotten to the point that I have to say something. I love this country. We're diverse yet assimilated population from all backgrounds. I believe all must have the same opportunities. I commit to make that a priority. Beside that, I'm done with the leftist agenda of Black Lives Matter and the white self-haters. I've seen it in action in my doctoral classes and the general media. I'm not backing down. If we can't get past this, I'm ready to fight to the death for our country and against those who want to take it down. I believe there are many like me." Well, because he said that he's willing to fight to the death, some of the students who were offended by his Trump background, they reported to campus police that he had made threatening statements. The police interviewed him and said, "Well, there's nothing chargeable here. You didn't do anything wrong. We're sorry. We had to investigate it." But the drama wasn't over. One of the students whose feelings were hurt by the Trump background, kind of cryptically said to him that they have ways of getting back at him. And indeed, they started bombarding the campus moral police. And they said that he violated all sorts of campus rules because his Trump picture as background was disruptive behavior, discrimination, harassment, created a hostile environment, and harmed his classmates on the Zoom meeting. And so now the student is facing disciplinary action, including they could suspend him from the university, they could impose a fine, they could force him to work community service, or they could mandate that he attend a social justice workshop for a full day. We are truly insane that we let some little butterfly wing, oh, that offends me, and they try to destroy a kid's life because of it. And so, for having a Trump background, Robert De Lyda, you have been
canceled.
And then, you know who else we need to cancel? Going to be tough at this point. But on Twitter over the weekend, this went viral once again. Robin Williams, because of something he said years ago about Joe Biden. And this is when Joe Biden was still fairly lucid. So imagine what he would say about Joe Biden in 2020. But here's what Robin Williams said about Joe Biden.
We still have comedy, though. We still have great comedy out there. There's always rambling Joe Biden. What the f***? Joe says shit that even people with Tourette's go, no. No. What is going on? Joe is like your uncle who's on a new drug and hasn't got the dosage right. I'm proud to work with Barack America. He's not a superhero, you idiot. Come here. When FDR was on television, there was no TV back then. Come here, Joe. Sit down.
Okay, so that resurfaced. Eric Trump retweeted it. And now Robin Williams' daughter, Zelda, is slamming Eric Trump for sharing the viral video of her late father. Zelda said that she's, well, on Twitter, she said, while we're reminiscing to further your political agenda, you should look up what he said about your dad. I did. Promise you, it's much more savage. But she didn't link anything that her dad said about Donald Trump. And so anyway, daughter's upset with Eric Trump. The Democrats are upset with Robin Williams. And so for all of that, Robin Williams, you have been
canceled posthumously.
Is it posthumously or posthumously?
It's posthumously.
I always think it's posthumously.
Well, it's spelled posthumously.
Yeah.
But it's pronounced posthumously.
Okay. Now I'll get that.
I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to correct it. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, nah, I'm just going to let it go. That'd be kind of classless of me. But since you're the one who brought it up, it was a great example of us to provide a pronunciation lesson for all of our listeners.
Yeah, and for myself. And thanks, Dory, for not letting me hang like an idiot in the air like that.
Do you want to just play the close now?
Oh, yep.
This has been a Cancel Culture Update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
It sure has. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
Just 10 months ago, three current members of the Seattle City Council who want to slash the police budget by 50% today, 10 months ago, Lisa Herbold and Andrew Lewis and Dan Strauss, so that they could all get reelected and elected. They were talking about how horrible crime was in Seattle, how the Seattle police are a model for the rest of the nation, about how we need to actually add more cops on the street, increase spending. Brandy Cruz had this on her Q13 report this weekend. But here's Lisa Herbold, Andrew Lewis, and Dan Strauss.
I believe really strongly that we need to fulfill our commitment to the public to grow the size of our police department.
We are going to also need to make sure that we staff our police force correctly, and that means retaining more police officers. We've got some of the best trained police officers in our state.
We need to hire more police officers in the city. I see on a daily basis that there's parts of our city where we don't have the staffing numbers to have effective community policing strategies and deter the kinds of crimes of opportunity that are prolific.
Okay, so you have three people with zero moral compass right there. Lisa Herbold, Andrew Lewis, Dan Strauss. They were either lying about the need to add cops to combat crime so that they could get elected, or they are lying today about their stated new desire to cut the police budget by 50%. My guess is they understand that this would be disastrous for the city, but they have all bought into the pure Marxist agenda that Seattle must be destroyed from within. So they were lying to get elected. And when people do that, they have no moral compass. Jay Inslee promised you and me he would not raise taxes as governor. He has signed off on now the six biggest tax increases in our state's history, with more to come. He lied to get elected. Council members will destroy the city now so that they can, if they were hiding underlying Marxism to get elected, well, that's even more serious. If they were pretending to be law and order and anti-crime, but now Lisa Herbold, Andrew Lewis, Dan Strauss, and the six others on the city council, they want to flood our streets with criminals. They have Dow Constantine closing jails, which will also flood our streets with criminals. You have Jay Inslee, who's in the last couple of months released 1,000 felons into our midst. Lauren Culp told me at least 2 of the 1,000 that Jay Inslee released have since murdered, since they got released. And so if you have people who were just doing a little Trojan horse thing to get on the council so that they could work for the destruction of the city, shame on the voters for not vetting them better. But if you've heard any of them speak, do you really believe that the members of the Seattle City Council, I mean, it's not exactly the Algonquin Roundtable when they have a city council meeting. I have never heard anything from any of the city council members that led me to believe that they are deep or particularly gifted in intellect. And there's absolutely no way that if they achieve their goal of destroying our city with crime, overturning capitalism, another stated goal of the Marxists, there's nothing that leads me to believe that this group of characters will be able to create a new city that is better than any that's ever been created in the history of the world, where everything will be divided up equally by government. Government will control all. They'll divide it up equally. They'll decide who the enemies are, and they will destroy them. They will use powers to destroy people like me, voices of dissent, who have a platform in the city. They'll work to promote those who want to be a megaphone for them. And so now we're in this really dangerous position. Right now, as we speak, the city council is voting to defund the police budget by up to 50%. I had Carmen Best, the Seattle police chief, on with me right at the beginning of the show today.
Zoe, I think it's
what I asked her was, how do we get here? She grew up in Tacoma. I grew up in Seattle. She and I went to the UW about the same time. I just said, how in the world did we get
Zoe,
here?
Zoe, I think it's a very storied and complex set of circumstances that bring us where we are here today at this very moment. And it's while it is rather tragic in many ways, we have to believe that at some point we're going to turn this around and have you know, a better outcome. You know, the city council vote today, I think it would be premature for me to comment too much on it until it's completed. And I'm holding out hope that it won't be as bad as I think it might be. But they're going to have their deliberations and they're going to make their vote. And then we're going to have to react and respond to whatever that is.
And she said, look, that doesn't mean she's opposed to police reform. None of us are. You can support the cops 100%, but at the same time say, and we want you to always strive to be better. The problem is, for all the Marxists, Seattle police was being hailed 9 months ago for being one of the best in the country in reform.
That, some of the issues that have been brought up with this whole defund movement have been, you know, valid concerns about how we can respond to some of these things better. And believe it or not, I am not opposed, and I don't think any of our officers are opposed at looking at potential ways that we can have a more effective and efficient response. But just cutting off, you know, 100 or more officers without any game plan, without any training, is not the way to do it. And I keep hearing there's a plan, but I haven't seen the plan. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, when somebody is out in the middle of your street, you know, in mental crisis, who's coming? You know, who have they hired? Who has been trained? Who is going to be the effective response to that situation? And I have not heard that answer yet. And that is why I have a deep level of concern. If we want to do something different, we need to have the discussion and the dialogue that takes us there. And one more quick thing is that I would say any empirical research that you have a control group and then you have your test group. And so you can pilot something out on the test group and see what might work and where there might be better responses. But to go out there without any sort of valid data is completely reckless and is inherently dangerous to everybody who lives in this city.
And beyond, because, as I've said, the violence spreads region-wide out of Seattle. They cut her salary right after we finished our interview. They cut her salary a bit, not as dramatically as they wanted, but she shouldn't be cut a penny. She's been working her tail off to try to deal with this nightmare that has been created by politicians the last several months. So I asked her if she thought the salary cut was retaliatory.
Well, obviously, no one wants their salary cut. And so it was disappointing to hear. And it does feel somewhat retaliatory and punitive because of the timing and the way that it came about. And that amount of money is not going to make a huge dent in their efforts to balance the budget. And so if they were going to do that and do it to every single department head, I mean, there might be an argument. But this is, you know, absolutely directed just to me, just at Carmen Best, because Carmen Best has said that, you know, what they're doing is reckless and it's not well thought out. And I have a responsibility. I'm an honest broker, if nothing else, to talk about actually, you know, what the truth of the matter is. And we'll let the chips fall where they may.
And will all the leftists in Seattle just acknowledge one thing that is an absolute truth? All of the things that you hate in Donald Trump, he does things without Congress, he just he's vindictive. Will you just admit that the Seattle City Council that you love is Donald Trump on steroids? That they are all the evils that you assign to Donald Trump, that our Seattle City Council is a million times worse? Now, of course, you won't acknowledge that because nobody wants to look at the world objectively. But that is the truth. What you claim to hate, you accept and tolerate from the Seattle City Council. And that makes you a hypocrite if you're in that position as well. But that's running rampant. Let me take a quick time out. We'll continue the big lead into the next segment. I want you to hear a little more of what Police Chief Best said. They are voting right now about defunding the police. We'll keep you posted on that throughout. And then also, if you live in more rural areas where you can hear my voice, if you live in Kitsap, Snohomish, Pierce, Thurston, all over, Whatcom, wherever you are, I have a special question for you. And that's coming up next. It's the Dory Monson Show. Rolls up. The city council was supposed to start at 2 o'clock to debate whether they want to destroy our region by defunding the police 50%. Chris Martin is producing today. Has the council meeting started yet, Chris?
No, they're still running reruns on the channel. Diane said that the council said that they had too much paperwork to get together before they did the votes or something, so that they just weren't quite ready, and they're pushing it like 45 minutes.
Okay, so the breaking news that we got right after we finished talking with Carmen Best, they were talking about cutting her salary to $170,000, which would have been a 40% cut. They did vote this morning to cut her salary to $270,000, which is, I don't know where she's at right now. I think it's just a $20,000 cut or so. But that was the only thing, because I know you were monitoring and rolling on the morning meeting. That was the only thing of note that came out of that.
Yeah, the morning meeting seemed like just housekeeping. It wasn't going deep into anything. They were sort of just presenting what they've already talked about.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep monitoring it throughout the afternoon, and we'll have updates throughout the day here on Cairo. Probably nothing substantive is going to happen out of this afternoon's meeting while I'm still on the air. But Carmen Best is somebody that I have great respect for. And it's really deepened in the last several months as she has kind of emerged as the lone voice of reason in a leadership position in the city. You know, Jenny Durkin is just, she created CHOP. She joked about it at the beginning when everybody knew that it was going to turn into a disaster. She was saying it was our summer of love. And then two black teenagers were murdered, women were raped, on and on it went. Her summer of love. That was her creation. As for Carmen Best, a couple years ago, the people who want no youth jail, so if a 14 or 15-year-old commits murder or rape, they wouldn't be incarcerated at all, in the view of the no youth jail movement. That's not an exaggeration. That's literally what they believe, that a 13, 14, 15-year-old who would ordinarily go to juvie until they're 21, at least, if they kill somebody. That hardly ever happens, though, because we've had a revolving door of justice for too long. But a couple of years ago, the no youth jail people, they stuck their arms in PVC pipe and duct taped themselves together and laid in the middle of the road in downtown Seattle. And the gridlock stretched onto I-5 and stretched onto 520 and I-90, and it just paralyzed the region for about 8 hours. And I was very critical because I said, look, if you let people get away with laying in the middle of the road, it emboldens them. And things will just get worse and worse and worse. And history has proven what I said a couple of years ago about that to be 100% accurate. That ignoring nonsense like that a couple of years ago was just going to lead to more and more problems. And, of course, that's what happened. Well, I was very critical of Carmen Best for not just getting those people out of the streets of downtown Seattle. At the end of that week, I had been asked to speak to Seattle K-9 police officers, to the handlers, the human handlers. They didn't ask me to speak to the dogs. Although if I had, I would have brought treats. But no, it was their annual dinner, the Seattle K-9 officers. And Carmen Best and her husband were there, and I talked with both them, and they made it clear they were very unhappy with my criticism. But I'll tell you something that was really cool about Carmen Best. She told me how unhappy she was with my criticism, and then we talked about our kids. And she goes, I don't know if you know this or remember this, but you coached against my daughters. And I had not remembered that. But she said, oh, yeah, I've been in a lot of gyms and I've watched you coach a lot of games. And we disagreed on issues, but we bonded as parents. And that's when I said, she's pretty cool. Because that's how I bond with everybody, is shared experiences. You know, it's often about parenting. But, you know, if there's anything else, I'd never talk politics off the air. I've told you that a million times. And I thought, okay, she was pretty angry at me. I was very critical of her. And then we end up talking about our kids and what are your daughters doing now? What are your kids doing now? And it was lovely. It was just lovely. And then my respect for her grew even greater in the early days of CHOP, when Jenny Durkin created this murderous mess. And Carmen Best, while still being, you know, respecting the chain of command, the mayor is over her and in the flow chart, but she made it clear that she didn't support giving up the East Precinct. She did not support giving up Capitol Hill to a bunch of domestic terrorists. And she stood as the lone voice of reason. So one of the things that I talked with her about when she was on a couple of hours ago was her relationship with Jenny Durkin, because I've heard that it's really pretty ugly.
Good, Dory. I know there's been a lot of speculation. I'm not sure where it's coming from. But the mayor has supported it overall, the police department, and moving forward. She has not been one who's advocated for defunding. And when it comes to issues of the CHOP, I will say that, you know, from the beginning, I did see this as more of a problem than maybe others did. I certainly did not view it as a block party or one where we should be encouraging people to come into that neighborhood in the manner that they did. That said, eventually, when the crime issues became so prevalent that we needed to address it, people did finally get on board, and we were able to move the Capitol Hill protest area out of the area.
And I started the interview by asking, how in the world did we get here? And I finished the interview by asking, where in the heck are we going?
I imagine there will be some cuts, and I think that, and I don't know how deep or how much, and I think that I'm going to consult with my command team about what that looks like and how we might move forward. Those will be the cards that were dealt. We have to be able to manage the city. And first and foremost, it's managing, of course, the public safety aspects. So we're going to revisit, based on what we get, about how we might need to redeploy or make some changes so that we can maintain the highest level of public safety with the resources that we have.
And think about this. These cops, who are just being talked about as a line item in a budget right now, these are the cops who have been spit upon, have had human waste thrown at them, have had explosive devices hurled their way, lasers shined in their eyes, who have had to stand stoically through night after night of rioting, protecting our city as best they could with no support from political leadership. And now they're going to have to, after the city council's done, after these reprehensible, as I said, people who lied to be elected and said we need more cops, and now they say, no, we need to cut them. Somebody's going to have to call these officers who've been putting in so much overtime and been receiving so much abuse, men and women who have, in many of these cases, who have spouses, who have children, cops of color. I heard from cops who are part of the LGBTQ plus community who are facing losing their jobs. They're all going to get called in, and they're going to be told they don't want you anymore. You're not essential. You're not essential. These lying city council members are essential. But cops who've been subjected to so much abuse, somehow or not, 160,000 signatures on a petition to fund our police, those 160,000 people don't matter. The masses that gathered in downtown Seattle yesterday to say no more, they don't matter. All that matters is a bunch of radical Marxists on the city council who are proven, now with this audio today, proven liars, which we'll review in awesome audio. I might have to get to my rural question tomorrow. I'm too fired up about this cop thing for today. Awesome audio coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. And before I get to the awesome audio, so what I was, and I'll just tease this for tomorrow's show, but my wife and I, we were on the west side of the Sound this weekend, and it's a different world. You know, there are Lauren Culp signs everywhere. There's Trump flags flying from flagpoles. People have bumper stickers, you know, like Trump bumper stickers, and they don't have to fear getting their window smashed or their car keyed, as would happen in Seattle if you had that. And, you know, my wife's from Vancouver, Washington, and it's, Vancouver's gotten a little nutty, but Clark County is still, you know, it's still a fairly moderate to conservative place. And, you know, Nicole was telling me about going up to Whatcom County, where her family's from, and there are all the Culp signs up there. I need to talk with you and get your texts, and we'll interact, because it's got to be brutal if you live in those more, not just rural areas, but just outside of, you know, the Seattle, most populous part of King County. It's got to be brutal to feel like you have no voice in Olympia. And you know, they are trying to get a stronger Democrat majority in the House and Senate so Jay Inslee can, if he gets reelected. Although this Culp thing's getting intriguing. But they want to ramrod some of the biggest tax increases so that they won't have to do spending cuts. It must be brutal. And I know this because my radio show for, you know, 25 years has kind of been the haven for people who feel like they don't have a voice and feel all disaffected and have no political voice. But I want to talk with you more about that. So tomorrow we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. With that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I played this one earlier this hour, but I don't care. Robin Williams, what he said about Joe Biden years ago. It went viral again this weekend. Eric Trump retweeted it. Robin Williams' daughter is upset that Eric Trump was trying to capitalize on it. But, man, Robin Williams said this about Joe when Joe was still semi-lucid.
We still have comedy, though. We still have great comedy out there. There's always rambling Joe Biden. What the f***? Joe says that even people with Tourette's go, no. No. What is going on? Joe is like your uncle who's got a new drug and hasn't got the dosage right. I'm proud to work with Barack America. He's not a superhero, you idiot. Come here. When SDR was on television, there was no TV back then. Come here, Joe. Sit down.
Oh, man. Robin Williams. At number two, I just love some soccer announcers. Lionel Messi, one of the greatest players in soccer history. He did have an incredible goal. I just love the way this guy called that.
Messi teasing Mario Rui and coming up with the ball, Lionel Messi. Oh, he hasn't, has he? He is just a conjurer, a ripper up of reason. A dream machine, a perennial Caesar of the day. Just another Lionel Messi gem.
And at number one in our awesome audio, our city council members, Lisa Herbold, Andrew Lewis, Dan Strauss, Brandy Cruz said this. In October, when they wanted to be elected, they said, let's increase police spending. Now they want to cut it by 50%.
Messi.
Oh, no, that is messy.
I believe really strongly that we need to fulfill our commitment to the public to grow the size of our police department.
We are going to also need to make sure that we staff our police force correctly, and that means retaining more police officers. We've got some of the best trained police officers in our state.
We need to hire more police officers in the city. I see on a daily basis that there's parts of our city where we don't have the staffing numbers to have effective community policing strategies and deter the kinds of crimes of opportunity that are prolific.
Hey, Sean, buy me an extra 30 seconds here. I know I'm saying this on the air, but I've got some breaking news.
Got it.
I was monitoring a Donald Trump press conference. It had just started. He was about 20, maybe 2 minutes, and he was touting great economic numbers. And then one of his advisors, just off the podium, said something to the president, and the president immediately walked out of the briefing room at the White House. So Donald Trump has just been alerted to something that required immediate attention. He has just left the briefing room about 2 minutes into a scheduled news conference. We will follow that throughout the afternoon here on Cairo. Tom and Curley next. See you tomorrow. High noon.
What should we do now, sir?
Well, are we stopped?
We're stopped, sir.
Good. Well, why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Very good, sir.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.